Right, I am ready. I am good to go. Are you guys ready for the penultimate episode of the Sunday Segway?
Let's do this.
Oh, yeah. When do we get to put you over, Kenny? Like, right at the beginning or at the end?
You could do it at the end. We could leave the tears at the end. We'll just play Ric Flair's Leave the Memories Alone.
Okay, so we bury you at the front of the show and then yes. Put you over at the end. Oh, okay. Yes. sounds like somebody I know. So.
All right, cool. Let's do this. All right.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
It is Sunday, and you're listening to the Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast.
We're in the big D tonight, baby, and we are live. Woo! Yes! 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 Don't you dare be sour!
You just made the list!
So why don't you choke on that?
Oh, son of a bitch, if you just heard the glass shatter, that's right, it is the Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast episode 221 right here on the WWPN, and I am the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, the one man with no Instagram, Kenny Killer. Thank you, Segheads, for joining us on the penultimate show of the Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast. We have this show and one more show left. So what do I have to do? I have to bring in the big guns. I have to bring in the guys that I like to have a tri-cast with. It is the final one, guys. The final tri-cast. And if you follow us, as you should do, you should know the tri-cast consists of the Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast, the DWI Podcast, and also the Attitude of Aggression Podcast. We're going to do what we do best, and that's give you the best in professional wrestling. So without further ado, let me introduce to you my brother from the West Coast. It is none other than Dave Unger.
Hey guys, how are you guys doing today? SummerSlam morning, the next to last, the penultimate episode of the Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast. We promised we were going to save the tears for the end, so I'm gonna wait to do that. Okay. But how are you guys doing?
Good. What I'm gonna do is introduce the other guys now into the show. None other than It's going to be like a letter, just like letters going around when I introduce these guys. DPP, PC Tunney, and CP Chris Platt. How are you guys doing?
Wonder. Greetings and salutations.
God damn it, man. How you going to step on my lines, man? How you going to step on my line? What's going on, man? Get it.
That's my
tight ship.
That's my gimmick. I steal other people's gimmicks.
Oh okay. Well, then in that case, I feel honored. Thank you very much. Imitation is the highest form of flattery, so thank you.
It's a lot different, you know. We don't have Dave drunk. Well, I say that while he's sipping some whiskey. We don't have DPP wiping the sleep from his eyes. It is, you know what I mean? Like, these guys, they've actually got some time. I actually decided, look, for these last two episodes, I'm going to be kind to these guys, and I'm going to let them get up at a reasonable time and, you know, do the podcast. I mean, first off, DPP, I see in the background, dude, you have a Southpaw wrestling t-shirt. Dude, like, literally envious. Like,
yeah. I ordered one the other day. You know, I was just surfing around WWE shop, and I saw it, and I wanted to get I also got the Universal title over here. So I had to pick that up, and I saw the Southpaw shirt, and they're on sale for half off, so I had to pick one up. And I watched the rest of the season one again, binge watched season two all day yesterday. So I'm all caught up on Lance Cadmus, Chet Cheddarfield, everybody's doing.
This is Chip Bobsky. This is Tim Bobsky. Right, Tim Bobsky here. we'll get to that. Don't worry, because, you know, we have to have our million laughs, as we like to do when we have a tri-cast. So, but we are going to give you guys a review of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 and a preview of SummerSlam, which is happening tonight or this evening for these guys. So let's get the show on the road. Let's just kick straight into it. First off, guys, did each and every one of you watch NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 last night? Yes. Thumbs up from PC. Thumbs up from DPP. Dave?
Absolutely.
Dave?
No. I got it. I actually got sick yesterday, so I have not had a chance. I've watched some of the highlights and read a lot about it, so I got the idea of what happened. I'd actually recorded this real NXT-heavy episode and then got sick and couldn't couldn't get it out. But I know what happened. I know what went down. A lot of the big stories. Okay. I went 3-2. If Rick Latchney was here and counting points, he'd be like, "Okay, how'd you do?" I did 3-2, so that's all right.
ICP, did you watch it?
I saw some of it. I didn't get to see all of it.
Okay, so
I saw enough where I can have intelligent in conversation about it. And if I can, I'll bullshit my way through it, just like life. So don't worry about it.
So black your way through it. It's all good. Okay, we'll go through it. We'll touch on some stuff. We'll go from the beginning, okay? Because we're gonna start with Andre Cien Almas with Zelina Vega, Rosita, who is also Austin Aries' wife. No, I don't know what that does to her, but geez. Okay.
That's not awkward at all, is it?
No. Coming there looking all...
Lucky man.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, come on now. The precedent has been set back in the Stone Ages. Remember when Fred and Barney, those two schlubs, had hot wives? So, you know, this isn't anything new.
This ain't anything new. And no. I have the esteemed pleasure of interviewing Thea Trinidad, so I am very happy about that, to see her on WWE television. So she comes out. Waddling her way down the ramp in them high heels, nearly falling over. God damn it. like all the other guys, nearly falling over once they see her. But yeah, Andrade Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling. Man, you know what? I thought this match would be a sleeper, and I was very, very happy with what I saw. As always, Cien Almas likes to bring it on takeovers, DPP. These guys had a really good back and forth match. I thought we saw new moves. We saw really, really good, clever exchanges, creative exchanges. And then I felt we saw a surprise finish. But when I thought about it, I thought, okay, he is due. But yeah, what was your thoughts on the match, DPP?
Yeah, I thought this was the perfect match to start off NXT, and it's one of those matches that's exactly how you should start off any pay-per-view. You know, high-paced action, real great, you know, two guys who can really go in the ring. I thought they worked awesome together, and I'm the same as you there. I thought Gargano was going to win this one, you know, hands down.
Same.
But it worked out perfectly. It was a great idea that they pulled the T-shirt out, the DIY T-shirt. I don't think they focused enough on it at the end, though, to actually tell you what it really was and, you know, put some more emphasis to how that finish happened. But I thought it was the perfect one. This was, you know, there was a handful that could have been match of the night, but this one was right up there. I mean, it was great action. It got the crowd completely into it, and they were just, oh my god, it was perfect way to start the show.
Oh man, PC, man, that balls to the face, jeez. My Gargano took that horribly. He took that horribly. I mean, anyone could take that balls to the face horribly. Come on, his balls to the face. But geez, man, that was not nice. But yeah, again, do you feel, PC, that they're gonna play a lot more into the DIY stuff leading up to the feud with Ciampa? Maybe he's coming back sooner than we think. But do we see him going through a string of losses due to the fact that he just cannot get rid of that DIY stench?
I hope they do something with that moving forward, because they'd be dumb not to, obviously. I think DP wrote a little bit about what he wanted to have seen happen in like a cruiserweight kind of thing, and him coming back and maybe, you know, fighting for that title or something. But to go back to Almas, I mean, I think he's really gets a little bit more validity as a heel with the valet. I thought that was pretty nice. I thought that's going to help his character maybe do a little bit more in NXT. But as far as Gargano and Ciampa, I think they need to do something at the very least, because it'd be wasting a really good storyline to not have these guys come back and put on some more awesome matches.
Yeah. Oh man, it's you know, NXT, you know, a lot of people saying that they're a little bit worried about NXT because the weekly show hasn't been, you know, up to par as it used to be, but they always deliver on the takeovers. WWE main roster, you can't always say the same, you know. We have you have mixed weeks on the shows, and then you have mixed pay-per-views. Again, whenever there's usually a pay-per-view, Dave, you know, a WWE pay-per-view, NXT and TakeOver is there on the same, you know, on the same weekend. TakeOver usually comes off looking better. Now, do you reckon the opener for a TakeOver will be whatever the opener is on SummerSlam?
I would probably think so. I talk a lot on the show about with the TakeOvers, the first match being like the pace car or like a NASCAR race or something like that. And I thought Gargano and Almas would be the first match because I figured they're going to set a really good pace for the rest of the event. And I think to a large extent that they did. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at the SummerSlam card, I'm trying to think what match you put out there right off the bat. You know, you've got, what, three, four matches on the pre-show now? What is it, three or four? I don't even remember.
Three, I think.
You got three, at least three
New Day, Usos, Miz, Taraj against Hardys and Kurt Angle Jr. And then Tozawa and Neville's on there too, right? I think.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
So out of 11, out of 13 matches, there's three on there.
Right. So well, I'm New, not New sure.
New Day and Usos would be the match that you would put on there first to get it started, but for some reason that's not where they're going. So yeah, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with Chris completely. That's the match that would have the best chance of doing that. Just looking at it, unless you're going to give away one of the. One of the big matches right off the bat. I'm not sure what they can trudge, huh?
I think AJ and Owens.
Yeah. No. I reckon it's going to be Ambrose and Seth.
That might work.
Well, I think
they're going to have a hard time matching what they got out of Almas and Gargano last night.
I think PC was giving me the John Cena salute. Yeah. Do you reckon they're gonna start? Cena's gonna start.
Cena and Corbin are gonna start. Wow.
Oh man, I would not be happy. I would not be happy.
Okay, but isn't the point to get the energy up right away? So Cena is the first thing that hits. His music hits. That gets the crowd going right away. That's your ignition switch.
Either that, or they're gonna they might do Naomi and Natalya first, and see if they can bring.
The energy.
You get the cash in right in the first 20 minutes of SummerSlam, and then we're off and running.
Okay, that's you know, what better way to start than cash in? That, you know, will definitely set a precedent for the start. CP, let's look at what's happening in NXT for Almas and Gargano after this. Okay, now this was a nice build for Almas, which means he must be going on to another feud. And possibly a highlighted feud. And for Gargano, he's probably going to be licking his wounds and going off to a feud against someone which he can, you know, have a decent feud with, but obviously win outright. Who were the two people, CP, you would like to see Almas face next and Gargano face next?
Well, Gargano, you know, he's basically just going to be kind of biding his time until Ciampa comes back, because that's the money feud in NXT right now. So that's probably going to carry them through the fall. You know, so get well soon. So that's what's happening next. And I missed the opener, so I'm not familiar with the first guy that you named. But I'm just gonna throw a name out there and say I'd like to see him with No Way Jose.
Okay. Now I mean, Almas needs to kick someone's ass next. So yeah, why not? Why not? You know what I mean? Why not? I mean, the Gargano thing started, it just started. You know, there wasn't anything in particular why it started. Maybe he'll get one over on Cesar Bononi first and just kind of deal with him real quick. And then he'll possibly go on to No Way Jose. Only time will tell. But I think there's only good things coming for both of them now. Almas needed this win. So, you know, let's see what happens next.
Let me say this though before we move on, if you will. Shout out to the NXT crowd. I think one of the reasons that their pay-per-views always come across so well is because that crowd is just so happy to be there, and they're so invested in the action, and that makes all the difference in the world when it comes to professional wrestling. They're basically ECW without the head chair shots. And that vibe and that atmosphere is just, it's really cool. And I can't imagine being a worker how much joy it would be to, you know, to perform in front of that atmosphere.
Oh man, yeah, it would be amazing. Let's go on to our next match, which I believe was Sanity versus the Authors of Pain. Now, we had Sanity come out, and it was Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf that looked like they were going to start. And then all of a sudden, Eric Young comes in, and it was Alexander Wolf and Eric Young. The Authors of Pain at the beginning, PC. I think I wasn't gonna be didn't feel like I was going to be surprised with this match. I thought it was just going to be a straightforward tag team match player, and it wasn't going to, you know, kind of excite me or anything like that. But I, again, my expectation, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it went up and up and up as it went on. It got better as it went on, I thought. Again, Old Man Ellering didn't get involved too much, which is good for him and good for his health. So thank God for that, Old Man Ellering. But what was good was the Nikki Cross and Killian Dane, their involvement in the match. Definitely, I felt, helped the match. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see them get over as a faction, right, and accomplish something. Isn't that, I mean, that's basically what they did, you know, and that was a really big thing that they accomplished. I mean, you know, I was watching with the Mike Man last night, and he's like, oh, Three Bird Rules, title change, you know, and I'm like, sure enough, you know, and it's just interesting to see what they're going to do now. Is this going to be a feud that these two teams are going to have, or do we see the Authors of Pain tonight?
Ooh, that'll be interesting. That will be interesting. For me personally, I would like to see
It's a good way to send Authors of Pain. I'm sorry, out without really getting, you know, knocked down a peg, because
yeah,
they kind of got into a match that they weren't expecting.
Well, yeah, I think they've got to a certain tag team, you know, one for kind of taking them out at the end, you know, at the end there. But yeah, I think that Authors of Pain will eventually go up. But I just think that there's still a bit more that they have, you know, that they need to improve on. Dave, did you see a lot of improvement here, though, from not only Authors of Pain, but Sanity as well, namely Alexander Wolfe? Because I thought he looked really, really good.
Look, Kitty, I'll tell you right off, this is one of the matches that I got wrong. And I think that they dropped the ball on this one, because I really thought Authors of Pain would win and Sanity would be the faction getting called up to SmackDown, which I think would have made a lot more sense. The Authors of Pain, the problem there is, you know, these guys have been around for, what, a year and a half or whatever it is. They still don't speak English. So how do you connect with the main roster crowd if you're going to bring these guys up and they can't even, I mean, even Nakamura connects to the crowd as limited as he is. I think that's a big concern with Asuka as well, is how does she connect with the main roster type of audience, and the Authors of Pain aren't going to be able to pull that up. I thought Sanity would have been a perfect choice to send up to SmackDown, because then you take Nikki Cross, you get her in the women's division, she would cause some major problems for that thing. You get Sanity as a team, because here's the thing, SmackDown needs another tag team. The Usos and the New Day can't carry this thing forever, so you're going to have to bring the Authors of Pain up sooner rather than later. I'm really concerned about them coming up to SmackDown and how they're going to connect with anybody. I hope they don't go to Raw. That'd be a horrible mistake. Mm-hmm. But I really thought I saw improvement for sure. These two teams really brought it in a way I didn't think. I really thought if Sanity was going to win, Killian Dane had to be involved in a roundabout way. He was certainly Nikki Cross as well. But they Yeah, sure. They showed improvement. I agree with you 100%. Alexander Wolfe was a surprise MVP of this match. But I think you could have got more mileage out of bringing Sanity up, having the Authors retain, and having Red Dragon go after them, mm-hmm. than the way it looks like it's going to go down ultimately, with Red Dragon going after Sanity. Mm-hmm. Or I guess it's Ring of Honor Invasion is what this pay-per-view could have been subtitled.
Yeah. CP, the interesting thing here is that, well, one for one, Alexander Wolf was doing German suplexes, which I was very happy about. He is German, so he should be allowed to do German suplexes. I think one of the other things about this, obviously, was the spot where we had the table set up and you had Killian Dave do his mad dive on top of Nikki Cross, on top of one of the Authors of Pain, which was a very, very cool spot. Nikki plays that crazy woman real, real well. But so at the end, obviously, we have the new tag champions, and then at the end, we see Red Dragon coming out and just, you know, just basically kill both of the tag teams. It was only a matter of time, you know. We knew that they probably weren't going to keep these guys separate. So now, you know, you must be excited. Do you think that they are going to be called Red Dragon? Do you think that, you know, they're going to be in a feud with both of these teams or just one of these teams?
That's a good question, man. I'm going to say, yes, they're going to be called Red Dragon because Eric Young is called Eric Young. So there's been precedent set. So I think they will be able to be called Red Dragon. I think the Authors of Pain, I honestly think it's time for them to be called up on the main roster with a couple of caveats. Number one, I dig what they're trying to do. I get what they're going for, the Millennial Legion of Doom thing. And that can get over. I mean, historically in wrestling, just the monster ass kickers, they do tend to get over, from the Ultimate Warrior to the Road Warriors, Goldberg, Ryback, Braun Strowman, et cetera, et cetera. So they will get over. Now, they do have a lot of limitations, so they've got to be in there with the right team. The good thing about DIY and the Insanity is that they were able to make the Authors of Pain look like $1 million in the ring. So they've got to get with the right team that can work with them and really be able to put them over. Probably the best thing for them to do when they come up is to just make a huge splash by just beating the ever-loving shit out of either the New Day or the Hardys or another babyface team that just can
be over. And then,
or Breezango. And then
they're the ones. It's been them all along.
It's been you all along. It was me all along, Austin.
And just let Pretty Paul talk for it, man. Let him go out and talk for it, man. He's good.
That's true.
Old man Ellery.
And shout out to Nikki Cross, too. I love Nikki Cross. I can't wait till she goes up on the main roster and interacts with some of those women on the main scene.
DPP, finally with you, my friend. So we're alluding to the main roster and call-ups and so on and so. You know, after this bit, we saw, and they only mentioned this briefly. They didn't go too much into it, but we saw Daniel Bryan up there. We saw Kurt Angle up there in the crowd, you know, in the box. Now, the only reason why these guys there, other than former NXT alumni, is obviously for one thing. We must have the shake-up coming up soon. There's been talks about it and little rumors on the dirt sheets or whatnot, but this must indicate that it is happening. These guys are there spying on people, which must mean there's going to be a few people going up. Do you agree? And if so, they'll probably have three people go up. And if there are three people going up, which three do you reckon it will be?
Boy. I think the only reason you're going to show them is because they're there scouting, right? I mean, otherwise, what's the point and why bother showing them in the box and having other NXT talent up there trying to, you know, vie for, you know, them getting signed to the main roster or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, boy, who could it be? I mean, I'm all on board with, I think, the Authors of Pain, especially after this loss. They're going to be probably coming up. It'd be the perfect thing to have them be the ones to take down Breezango, and that's the whole story. That makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, I don't think, there's a couple guys I would love to see move up, but I don't think they're going to be there yet. You know, Bobby Roode, I mean, he just, you know, we'll talk about that a little later. He could be a guy that comes up. That'd be great. I would love to see, I'm sure he's not ready, but I would love to see Aleister Black come up because I think he is awesome.
Yes.
And every time he puts on a fantastic show, so I would love to see him. I don't think they're going to move up Asuka anytime soon. I've talked about that and how I think she's going to come up at WrestleMania. Other than the Authors of Pain, I don't know who else they're going to bring up. I don't think it's going to be anybody that's going to surprise you, like it's any big name, right? That.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That may be what's next for Gargano, Kenny, is he may go up to 205 Live.
Maybe.
Yeah. He can feud with Dash Wilder.
Jesus. Well, yeah, that may be, you know, Gargano may be going up, but I would like to see him. I would like for them to build his stock more on NXT before they, you know, before they send him up. My wish.
What about Gargano to 205 Live?
That's what I was just saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
I talked about that a couple weeks ago on an article I wrote for Yes Wrestling, that I think the Gargano Ciampa feud might be better served on 205 Live just to help build that brand a little bit, because that's probably one of the biggest cruiserweight feuds we've ever seen for how long. Mm-hmm. And why not push it up to 205 Live where they could battle over the title down the road here when Ciampa's healthy, you know, around Royal Rumble, WrestleMania time, have this feud go to WrestleMania for the cruiserweight title between the two would be amazing. And I think it's really 205 Live more than it's going to help NXT, because 205 Live is just garbage.
Yeah, they definitely need they need a refresh of guys, because it's just the same combination. They definitely need a refresh. So yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Okay, let's go on to the next match, which was Aleister Black facing off against Hideo Itami. Man, everyone probably knew, you know, thought that this match was gonna be amazing. Anyway, I think the, you know, the whole thing with Hideo and the respect thing that he wants, I like that. You know, I think he's credible enough to ask for that respect, seeing as what he has done previously before he got to NXT. And Aleister Black, I mean, that entrance was lovely. That entrance was amazing. I love that, and I love the live band. Ever since that DX live band, like, I just, you know, I've always enjoyed there being a live band, even from Cut Off Personality. That was, you know, great.
You know that was Triple H's idea, right? That had to be Triple H's idea to do the
100%.
Whose idea? Triple H. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Roman Reigns. Triple H's idea.
Triple H. okay, so CP, we have these two guys facing off. We know it's going to be a stiff match. I felt that it started off kind of slow. I didn't think that they gathered pace until, you know, midway through the match. But when it did gather pace, man, it gathered pace real, real quick. And I was very, very happy with the chemistry, you know, coming towards the middle. I mean, Hideo, you know, he took this loss like a man. And what's next for Hideo, though? You know, do they go back to the Cassius Ohno feud, CP? You know, what could happen here? Because I think Hideo, in my eyes, has been a massive underachiever in NXT. Do you agree?
You know, I do agree. I think, well, first of all, shout out to JR, good old JR, for calling this match, man. Shout out to Jim Ross. It's always good to hear his voice. And he just adds credibility to anything he does. Yes, he has been a disappointment, but I don't really think it's his fault. I think he's been more a victim of circumstance because he just can't stay healthy. And unfortunately, in WWE, that's the kiss of death, being injury prone. So I don't think they're going to really invest too much into him. And when he does go up to the main roster, I think he's just going to be strictly an enhancement guy. So I don't think they have much faith in him. And honestly, I can't say that I blame him, which sucks because he's absolutely amazing in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. PC, there was a moment there when Aleister Black was on the floor and Hideo was giving him them Ric Flair knees. He took the pads down, jumped over, and just wham, kick you in the face and bust your nose right wide open. Like, that just for, as a heel, to do something like that was just, obviously he didn't mean to do it, but it's a nice touch as a heel. I thought that was great. But as soon as that moment happened, everything just went stiff. Everything toward, you know, from that moment going towards the end, everything was stiff and I loved it. The slaps in the face, both chests were red. Man, it was horrible. That black mass at the end, dude. Oh my god. That black mass at the end.
That sounds like my night last night, you know, working stiff, slaps to the face, everything, everybody's red in the face afterwards. Yeah.
Oh boy, here we go.
Kenny, you need to get Chris on your dad cast, man, with stuff like that. That's priceless.
We even had Jim Ross in there, man. By God, somebody stop the damn match. It's a slobber knocker.
Oh my God, he broke her in half. He broke her in half.
Chris is about to pick up.
So, PC,
what would slobber knocker or slobbered on those knockers?
A little bit of both, bro. A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. PC, what would you do with Aleister Black now? You know, are they thinking, okay, let's fast track him to the main event of NXT, you know? Or do they carry on doing what they're doing? He's yet to speak, which is great. Are they doing the slow burn with him?
Isn't it about time they do that with somebody, though? You know, and why not do it on NXT? Because it's just going to add another good storyline. And instead of, you know, having to create something else that maybe isn't there right away. I mean, what you just said is great. Let's just slow burn this. I mean, maybe it's Royal Rumble he gets his title shot. Maybe it's not till WrestleMania. He can have meaningful feuds and get other guys over by staying down there a little bit longer and waiting to have his turn at the title. And that's what I think they should do with him, just because I think he can be that much better with more experience in NXT when he comes up to the main roster. But I think the as Michael Jordan would say, the ceiling is the roof for this guy.
Yeah, Definitely. I think it's nice to be able to see a guy like him. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, he's kind of like CM Punk. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's his own guy. Yeah, so what? He's got the tattoos and he sits
in the ring. He doesn't want an ice cream bar.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. someone will probably try to give him an ice cream bar and he'll probably black mask them in the face. Get that shit out of my face. But yeah, he's an interesting character, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with him. We're gonna speed things up now a bit, Dave. We're gonna go to Asuka versus Ember Moon. Man, I felt this was match of the night. I felt that these two, I just there's no one that could hold a candle to Asuka. She's just her ring chemistry and her ring presence and just everything. They decided to call this match a bit different this time, Dave. They decided to come off with the submission holds and really ground down Ember Moon. And I liked the way they told that story. And then they picked things up towards the end. Was you surprised about the way that they started this match?
A little bit. I mean, it was a more deliberate pace to it than the first one. And like you said, it was more grapple-based and a lot of submissions. This is one I actually got right. This is one of the three that I got right. And I called that, you know, I figured that Ember Moon was going to get in the Eclipse and it wasn't going to be enough to put Asuka down. And that's, you know, kind of the way it went down. But I like the match. I agree with you. I think that this one had match of the night, match stealer, which is really good to see that the women of NXT still know how to bring this sort of a match together. Asuka, yeah, she's a handful to deal with. She's kind of, and I don't know what you guys think. I know DPP thinks it's going to be Mania before she comes up. My theory on this, I rationalize it. I think that whoever wins the Mae Young Classic is the one who ends Asuka's streak, and then she comes up probably somewhere like around Survivor Series, maybe the Royal Rumble. But I think that's, they like Ember Moon. I like Ember Moon. Ember Moon's improved enough, but that streak that she's on, you've got to actually put that before any sort of need that you have to get somebody up to the main roster, because you've got to do the legacy of that streak justice right now.
Yeah.
And you can't just, I mean, if you're not absolutely sure about it, then you can't have somebody. I mean, you could just as easily have Asuka say, I'm done here. I've beaten everybody you've thrown at me. Here's your title. I'm going up to the main roster, and have her step away undefeated, and everybody would be fine with that. And then have one of, you know, Charlotte or somebody like that try and be the one to beat her. But I think they're going to look at the winner of the Mae Young Classic to see, does she have the charisma? Can she connect? If she's one of the Japanese girls who probably has faced Asuka before, then, you know, there you got your table made for you right there. But I think that's what they want to do. They want to hold their cards close to their vest and say, not yet. Let's let this streak go. Let's build this legend even further. And then let's see if this girl who went, because if you have the girl from the Mae Young Classic beat Asuka, you immediately legitimize that champion without having to revolve a whole show like 205 Live around her. So I thought this was a great match. Ember Moon certainly went up in my book. You can't really take anything away from her in this match. Asuka's just that much better than everybody else.
DPP.
Dave, are you going to tell me that the WWE is not going to ruin a title run? They're going to keep their... See The Miz.
I think Asuka's kind of maybe... And if you believe the stories that were coming out that Triple H told Vince, you can't take Asuka as far as the draft. Now, I'm sure Vince could say, I can take anybody I want, goddammit. But, you know, he actually respected Triple H, and this one thing says, if you take her, it just ruins the entire division. And we've all said, I mean, all of us at one time or another have said Asuka's a division killer. But, yeah, you take her away from there for the last year and a half, and what do you really have? Bayley just beating the shit out of, you know, the iconic duo and that kind of thing? I mean, it loses a lot. But Asuka may be one of these people who's exempt from this whole thing, DPP. And I know what you're saying. Yeah, they fucked over many title runs. All right, yeah, let's just pull the belt off this person. You know, Authors of Pain were undefeated as well. You saw how quickly that reign came to an end with kind of like a asterisk next to it, but still it's done. But Asuka's a different, I think she's different. I don't think that they're going to, I think they want to tell a longer story with her. And like I think Tunney said, I'm all for, hey, yeah, let's draw out some longer storylines. Let's actually build something with NXT instead of just, hey, let's rush to the next pay-per-view and get something in here. You know, oh, No Mercy's coming up. Undertaker versus Roman Reigns sounds as good an idea as anything to me. So,
well, I'm telling you now, they've definitely got something prepared for Asuka. There's all this record shit. This ain't for nothing. They don't do that shit for no reason. They don't let her go on ESPN Newsweek and just start saying, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna fucking walk onto Raw and SmackDown as NXT champion." You know what I mean? Like, they're definitely planning something, and I think that there's no point taking the title off Asuka, you're right, when there is no one ready in that division to spearhead that division. That's what they wanted, and that's why they got her in, to hold that division up high. They knew Bayley was going to get moved up, so they needed someone else to spearhead it. Man, she's fucking spearheaded this division and just, like, beat up everyone in triple threat matches, in four-way, everything. She's just beating up everyone, which is perfect. And right. I feel that they and are the, waiting the, for the Mae Young Classic, yeah, where you have all these women, just all of them. Just,
right.
Here you go, ready-made. You got 10 women, just bam. Division is now nice and beautiful and fruitful. And I think she's going to carry on blitzing through people until she says, no one is ready for Asuka. And then here comes the winner of the Mae Young Classic, which I hope is Kairi Sane. And then we have this yep, fucking stardom, whatever kind of Japanese mega fest, Asuka versus Kairi Sane, and just the whole place just goes fucking crazy, and we just have an instant classic.
You have an NJPW style worthy match at NXT TakeOver Houston, and there you go. And you could easily do that. You could build, if they do that right, what, the Mae Young Classic winner will be determined, what, mid-September, late September, something like that. It gives you like a month, which is at least a month longer than they normally take to build these takeover cards. And there you go.
I'm looking forward to this Mae Young Classic as well, man. I've been starved for too long to see my alpha female out there kicking ass. I just can't wait, man. Let's move on to the main event, I believe, which is Bobby Roode against Drew McIntyre. Now, man, PC, I was not looking forward to this match at all. Not one bit. I just don't think the chemistry, I just didn't think that they were going to mesh. I feel like, but I really don't like Bobby Roode when he can't face off against someone that can also carry a match, because I just feel like he's a bit boring to watch. Same old kind of moves, that typical WWE kind of old school moveset. There's nothing that kind of jumps out at me. That's my opinion. What's your thoughts, man?
I kind of enjoyed the match, actually. It was good to see Drew Galloway or McIntyre, whatever you want to call him, back in a main event there. I think he's going to do well. I know Vince has been a fan of him regardless of what's happened there. As for Bobby Roode, is this a guy that comes up now? I think they're going to kind of have a little bit of a feud between these two guys. But the match delivered more than I expected. Like you said, I wasn't expecting a ton because Bobby Roode is that guy who necessarily doesn't need to have a guy that's going to work extremely well with him, but it helps him to have that better match, So I hope they continue the storyline. Maybe they can have a couple better matches working together more and build up that McIntyre character. But the end was the cherry on top of the pay-per-view yesterday for me.
DPP, let's go to
I knew who was gonna win, Dave.
I kind of feel bad for Rob.
I gave that away, didn't I? So
I completely 100% believe you, and now you have like the full right to go out and fuck with me and give me false information, and I'll just be like believing you every time now.
Did you bet your house like I told you to do?
Yeah, I have two cardboard boxes now, motherfucker.
Awesome.
I feel bad for Bobby Roode, though. I think he was born past his time. He almost reminds me of a TV VCR. Like, back in the day, if you had a TV VCR, it was the shit. Now it's kind of obsolete. He is very boring in the ring. He's like a poor man's Triple H. But I feel like he would have been a main event player in early 90s WCW. So I kind of feel like his window was missed. And that's unfortunate because he's got one of the most awesome entrances in the game right now.
Yeah, he'll
he's gonna show up. He'll be on Southpaw Regional Wrestling soon.
I think he'll do good on the main roster. I think he'll do better on the main roster. I just don't think he I don't think he was suited for NXT. That's how I feel anyway. But
I think he's tailor made for the main roster, and he's 40, so you've got to get him up soon. Got to get him up soon.
Get him up there. DPP.
Oh,
you'll
be the main guy in World Class Championship Wrestling.
Terrorizing.
him and Von Erich, man, they're going to tear it up down there.
there's rumors of a Mid-South run as well.
Oh my God. Yeah.
maybe some AWA as well, you know?
Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode, beautiful Bobby.
Hey, Bobby Roode against old school Scott Hall with the big mustache from the AWA. Oh. There you go. Burn Gagne.
Bobby Roode and Nick Bockwinkel. That would have been fun.
Diamond stud.
The diamond stud. Oz.
We all agree.
Where's Oz when you need him, right?
For the US title.
You know you're old school wrestler when you hold the strap like this. Where's my phone championship? When you just hold the strap like this, is you got the straps in and you just hold it like this, just standing side by side. You just, yes, that's it. Yeah, like that. like it's a satchel.
Like you're carrying a chicken. Yeah, you're carrying a live chicken.
But DPP, I'm gonna go to the end here where we saw the Claymore for the finish. Crowd, erupted, and he's the champ now, Drew McIntyre. And then the crowd just starts going crazy. You can see them looking somewhere. So I'm thinking, okay, they didn't show Adam Cole at that halftime bit where they normally like show people in the crowd. So I just thought, you know what, that's definitely him, unless someone is having a fat ass scrap in the crowd. But the crowd go nuts. You see Red Dragon there in the corner. I'm like, hey, what the hell's going on? Like, what's fucking Dalton Castle coming down or something? Like, is this someone else? No, it's Adam Cole, baby. Comes in looking like fucking Shawn Michaels. Comes in, sets up, super kick, bam, just done. Loved it. Crowd went nuts. I was fucking marking out like a schoolboy bitch. I was just waiting for the Adam Cole baby. And then we had to wait until the aftermath where, WWE exclusives, and he goes up to the top of the ramp. And you get the Adam Cole baby and the crowd. Oh, man, I got goosebumps hearing that Adam Cole baby by the whole crowd. Depending on how they book Adam Cole, okay, obviously we've got this faction here that's going to be happening. Is he going to the top? And can they do it right?
Oh, absolutely they can do it right. And they've got a guy who's, already over with the crowd and can easily do that. And I had this pegged from the second I heard he was leaving Ring of Honor that he was going to be sitting at ringside here at the NXT TakeOver show. I was that close to being right because he actually got in the ring, which is even more awesome. And I love that they're, again, putting guys together and making some kind of a faction, whatever you want to call them, the Ring of Honor faction or whatever they come up with. But, I'm a huge fan of this kind of thing. I mean, it's group warfare. They can go against Sanity. They can go against, anybody. And it's always the numbers game, and it's perfect for heels, because they can just, gang up on the baby faces. So I think it was just perfect way to put all these three guys together and get them over immediately. And they're right at the top of the little card now. And McIntyre's next feud can be Adam Cole. And boom, you're off and running.
I think
they're going to gang up on the baby faces.
Okay? Yeah, the baby faces. I think this is nice because obviously they split. They're going to split now because you see Bobby Roode going off to, going off to feud with Roderick Strong because at the, again, exclusive WWE content, what we saw, Bobby Roode going crazy, telling his fucking chauffeur, get the car! Get my car! And then you just see Roderick Strong there in the background just saying, I'll see you soon. So you know they're going to feud. And I think Adam Cole being here with Red Dragon being massive heat seekers, I think this is going to be great for Drew McIntyre as well, because they're going to beat the living shit out of him. And you're going to get that babyface, sentiment. You're gonna feel sorry for him getting his ass kicked week in, week out, by these guys. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. Adam Cole, I think, is a tremendous talent, and I'm glad that he is here now in NXT. And I just think they just shoot him up now. You got Aleister Black just going slowly in the background, I just think this is looking, and then you've got the women coming from the Mae Young Classic. I think this next year now in NXT is gonna be fucking amazing, and I cannot wait to see how these guys progress. And this is probably what's going to happen. You're probably going to get Adam Cole and Drew McIntyre feuding for ages. Adam Cole takes the strap off him, and then you just feed him to Aleister Black, and then boom, Aleister Black just takes it off him, and Aleister Black is the new guy. There you go. Thanks for the bell. All right. So
and shout out to Drew McIntyre as well. I just had to say that. Shout out to Drew McIntyre as well. He is the perfect example of do-it-yourself.
Yes.
I didn't work out. He came in with heavy praise in WWE. He was a little young. It didn't work out. He went on the indies, kind of made a name for himself, improved his character, really found who he was as a character. And now he's back, and I think the sky's the limit to him. You know, it's the same thing that – oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof, and it's the same thing Cody's trying to do. And just imagine if a guy like Dolph Ziggler would have did this back in 08 or 09 and then came back.
Yeah, true.
I just, at this just to point out that at this moment right now, because it may not last through SummerSlam, two members of the three-man band are world champions. So
Jesus.
Yeah.
Enjoy for the next 12 hours.
Yeah. All we gotta see is
Heath Slater steal the world title. I'm gonna be very upset.
Heath Slater is gonna steal Carmella's briefcase tonight.
No. Nice. We'll see. What's his name? What's his character on South Pole? Presley. We'll see Presley.
Pelvis
Presley. We'll see him beat Jack Johnson for the South Pole Wrestling Championship. And he'll break on the jump. But on that
note, you'll get added to the. They'll turn the match. It'll be a fatal five-way tonight. Heath Slater gets added, sits on the sidelines, wait for the other four guys to beat the hell out of each other, steal the win. 3MB rules the world.
Man, on that note, we're gonna go to a break, okay? You can hear from our business partners, Max Wrestling Podcast, and we'll be back. We're going to talk SummerSlam. We're each going to go through the matches, and we're going to give our picks.
All 25 of them, right?
All 25 and the rest. And then we're going to talk a bit of South Park Regional Wrestling with Chad Chatterfield and, you know, Lance Catamaran. I love saying that name, sorry. But yeah, we're going to talk about those guys. And then, yeah, we're going to play Leave the Memories Alone. And right off into, you know, getting ready for next week. But nevertheless, please make sure you don't miss it, guys.
Wrestling fans, look no further for the most unpredictable wrestling podcast you've ever heard on the Max Wrestling Podcast, hosted by me, Dazzy Dangerously, with everybody's favorite captains, The Phoenix, The Butcher, and Mike Larkin. Plus, special guests, promos, and trivia.
Find out what's been going on in wrestling history as I take you down memory lane every week.
And the Butcher's Stupid Idiot of the Week gets it!
And see if you agree with me as I choose every week's segment of the week in the world of wrestling.
The Max Wrestling Podcast is available on
YouTube, Podomatic,
Mixcloud, and SoundCloud.
And the Swerve Talk Network is other great shows.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Max Wrestling UK, or go to our website, maxwrestling.wix.com/maxwrestling.
And that's the bottom line.
Because we're out of time.
Yalikalikimaka.
Listen in, man.
And we're back, Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast, episode 221. I'm out here doing the tricast with the guys from the DWI podcast and obviously my boy Dave Unger from the Attitude of Aggression podcast. How's Gator doing, Dave?
I have no idea, Kenny. He's MIA. I talked to him early this week when the Ric Flair stuff started breaking loose. I said, I don't know if you've seen this. He said, damn, Rick's hard. I hope he pulls through. And then I kept sending him updates and tried to get him to come on this show to send you off into the sunset, and never heard from him. He's just off doing whatever Gators do. Yeah. I know school started back up, so, and he's a teacher, so that might be occupying him. But, I think Gators is done with the whole wrestling industry probably for now.
Just like, fuck this shit.
I got one thing to say to old Gator then.
What's that?
Gotten his name.
There you go.
Wait, play that again.
I've already forgotten his name.
I don't know who you're talking about. So
his name Allen or Slater or
it escapes my mind. Is it
Slacker? Slacker, that's it, yeah.
Or is it the Drifter?
He actually showed up. He's not. He's really Elias Samson. That's probably what it is.
Oh, blasphemy is Elias now. It's just Elias.
Just Elias. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Hey, dude, I love that. I love every time he comes on. I'm just like, who wants to walk with Elias? I love it. I'm sorry. I'm a sucker for Elias.
Yeah, they've done. Talk about turning a jobber into something. Well, sorry, Ginger. I forgot about you.
All right, let's go through the SummerSlam card, guys. So we're just going to make this pure and simple because I just want to fast track this to the Southpaw Regional Wrestling Talk. I want to do that. But what we're going to do is we're going to go through the matches. And what I'm going to say to you guys is just give me your winner. That's it. Give me your winner. And then at the end, I want you to tell me how long you reckon this fucking pay-per-view is going to be, you know? Is it gonna be 5 hours? Is it gonna be 25 hours? Is it gonna fucking last a whole year? What is happening with WWE and these fucking 6 hours, 7 hour? It's too much. It is too much. It's like a whole day of wrestling. Like, they need to start splitting this shit up into 2 day events like New Japan. Imagine if they had the New Beginning card on one day, on like one day. That shit would be 10 hours. What the hell? Split it up.
Yeah.
Split it up. But nevertheless, let's go straight from the top. Straight from the top, okay? We're going to go to the main event. Brock Lesnar. Who else is in this match? Roman Reigns. Samoa Joe. Who else is
Samoa Joe.
Braun Strowman. Here we go, DPP switching titles. Universal title time. Okay,
when did you get that?
What? I picked it up with my Southpaw Region Wrestling shirt.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Is that an official replica belt? Because I'm just wondering, what do you do for living, DPP, that you have? That's $350 just to drop.
Send that shit over my way. I'm the one leaving. Give me a going away present, man. God damn it. Give me a title belt.
You're more than welcome to have the $25 toy belt that I have right now.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
You can keep it, man.
See, on the TV screen, you're not. Is that real? Or is that? Okay, yeah, okay, there you go.
Velcro straps. There you go.
Oh, you paid extra for the white leather, huh?
It's just Sharpie. I just colored in the Sharpie.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Main event time. I'm going to go through each one of you. Who wins and who takes the fall? First off, DPP.
Brock Lesnar wins, and Samoa Joe takes the fall.
No. Samoa Joe. My man, Samoa Joe. You see the pop he got last night? Jeez.
I just can't see Reigns or Strowman taking the fall right now. Strowman definitely can't because they're protecting him, and I think Lesnar Strowman is next. Mm-hmm. So it can't be him, and, you know, I just don't think Reigns will take the pinfall, and I think Lesnar's going to hold on to the title, so... Process of elimination, says Samoa Joe, unfortunately.
Dave?
Oh, man, who did I pick on Rick's show, guys? Samoa Joe, right? And I reserved the right to change my mind in the days that followed. So, I guess the first question I have for you guys, is there anything to these Undertaker rumors?
Yes.
Oh, I seen some pics.
I did see the photo of him at the airport. I did see the photo a couple of days ago, so I don't know. Yeah. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but what's he gonna do? Yeah. Like, what's the guy's hobbling on his knees? His hip is barely like, fuck.
I don't know. He went through hip. How many months ago was Mania? What was it? 4 yes. months ago? Is he recovered enough to do anything? If Undertaker's involved, he's going to eliminate Roman Reigns from this whole equation.
Yeah.
And I think Roman Reigns takes the fall. You know, I could see Undertaker just coming out of nowhere, chokeslamming Roman Reigns, looking at Brock and saying, there. I think at this point, and, you know, with all the stuff that's leaked out about No Mercy with Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman, I think I'm going to switch things up and go with DPP and say Brock Lesnar retains, Roman Reigns takes a fall though.
Okay.
And, you know, and they may be setting up for Taker and Roman Reigns at No Mercy, which means I better get tickets to that event like today because it's down in LA and I know we're planning on going to that. So it's like, maybe I should get tickets before these prices go higher at the end of SummerSlam. But I'm thinking right now, yeah, Brock Lesnar retains. I think the UFC thing is a smokescreen. I think that it would have been better if they hadn't leaked a lot of the information that has leaked out since then. It kept it kind of, you know, there you go, CP, he's got the title. And is that a real one or is that a toy title, CP? I'm just wondering.
Oh, man, I didn't even pay $25 for this, man. This was $17.99 at Target, bro. I think the worst part is that it fits around my waist. So, like, kid's belt fits around my waist.
I got to go and get, like, a real replica title just to throw you guys off.
I need that shit, man. Listen, there's a few things that I want to do. And that's get a replica belt and go to fucking WrestleMania or Royal Rumble. That's it. Like, that is it. That's all I got left to do.
Kenny, you can hang with us in New Orleans next year, so.
I'm getting married next year, so I ain't got the funds, man. Ain't got the funds. Ain't got the moolah.
Come on, priorities, Kenny. Priorities, you know?
Yeah. Unless I want to.
Going in the towel,
dude,
huh,
man, I need to avoid a curb stomp out here. Like, so. You know,
touché.
It's retired in WWE, but not here, though. Not in this household. So I need to avoid them.
Fair
and
enough.
If I avoid that, I need to avoid the bro kick that's coming the other way. So, you know. Okay, so we are.
You could do the wedding at Mania. I mean, I am an ordained minister, so I can marry you.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yes. Okay. I'm an ordained minister.
Okay.
Yeah.
That you're getting married at Mania, baby.
It's a match made in heaven.
Hey, there
I was
you go.
Thinking of. I'm sitting around one Sunday morning and drinking my morning orange juice, trying to figure out ways I could bring in some extra income. Okay. And for some strange reason, I thought officiating gay weddings was the thing. So I went online and I got ordained right then and there. And they sent me my certificate and everything. So yeah, I am a minister, shit. Man. So okay. Go be faithful.
Well, when I get married, if it's a marriage, you know, a marriage made in heaven, just I don't want to see no snakes in my gifts. That's what I'm saying. Don't want to see no
Snake sex. Roberts ruined my wedding.
Ooh, it's a blender. Oh man. PC, we're coming to you, man. What's the outcome and who takes the fall?
Yeah, so we're getting ready to close out the match and Braun Strowman is about to pin Brock Lesnar and the other two guys are on the outside and the lights go down and Undertaker comes out and he chokeslams Strowman and Lesnar. And that's the end of the pay-per-view. And we find out that at the next pay-per-view, Undertaker is going to win the belt from Brock Lesnar and eventually drop it later on to Braun Strowman.
Oh, dun, wow. Dun, dun! I hate you meddling kids. If Undertaker does come, I want to see his ass do some old school shit. Like, I'm talking like you cut the ring and just come up through the ring and just pull fucking Roman Reigns down underneath the ring. You just see the smoke just come up. It's like, yeah, I want to see some of that shit. Like, that'll be cool. Or he just comes with the urn and just like fucking SummerSlam 1996 him and just bam the urn in his head like Paul Bearer did to The Undertaker. This flatline Roman Reigns, go back underneath the ring. Yeah.
Or do they get two Undertakers to show up like that one year?
Yeah,
you know?
94. Yeah.
So maybe you get the Brothers of Destruction come back and lay them all out.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
If we do anything with the urn, it's got to be that Samoa Joe steals it and melts it into a gold chain like Kama did back in the day.
Yeah. Or we just see Undertaker and Kane come out when their real names is Glenn Jacobs and Mark Calloway. Just, yeah, you know who I am,
ladies
but
and
you
gentlemen,
don't know why I'm here.
The Brothers of Construction, Mark
O'Brien. with heavy machinery, their bodyguard. As heavy machinery dressing like Southern Justice.
There's only two seasons in wrestling, winter and road construction.
You just waiting for Fred Ottoman to come out like with his fucking tugboat thing with the shockmaster helmet on. Like.
No, their manager is William Regal with the hard hat on.
Oh, he's a man. Man's man. Oh man, I know.
He's
I love
a man.
Okay, let's carry on with this. CP, your outcome.
I agree with Dave, man. Brock wins and Roman takes the pin, regardless of whether or not Taker's there. Because Roman doesn't need it, man. He can survive a pin. He's Teflon at this point. Yeah, but man, you got to kind of protect the other two guys. I don't want to see Taker wrestle again, though, honestly, guys. I got to admit. Like, I'm going to pop like any other fanboy if Taker comes out. But I really don't want to see him wrestle again, man. I think back to other guys that have – other legends that have stayed too long, man. And, of course, I can't think of any. But – like,
Hulk Hogan?
Muhammad Ali, Hulk Hogan.
No offense, Ric Flair.
LL Cool J. Like, you know what I mean? They just stay in the game way too long, man. And, you know, it's just not a good sight to see.
Hush, baby. I heard, did you hear today Ric Flair's cutting promos on nurses in the hospital? Yeah. Oh, that's got to be classic.
Yeah. He's just like, you want to go to Space Mountain? That's also...
Ooh, and then he flips up his gown. Woo, come take a ride, baby. The nature boy. Woo!
Oh, my days. Okay, let's go on to... let's just pick a next match. Let's go on to a next match right here. Let's just go to Naomi versus Natalya. Now, Natalya was a weird pick for me, and I just purely think that they picked her just because they want Carmella to... Well, they want someone for Naomi to... You know, to give to win over, and then for obviously Carmella to just cash in, or for there's something on another. But again, we're gonna start off with CP. What do you reckon? The who takes this down, and will we see a cash in?
Shit, I don't know, man. I gotta be honest. I feel bad because I love Naomi. She's worked so hard to turn herself into a incredible wrestler. I love the glow thing. I'm feeling the glow. She's a hell of an athlete. And Natalya's one of the best workers on the roster, male or female. So I feel bad that I really don't give a shit about this match. I don't really think that Carmella should cash in, though, because I don't think she should win when she does cash in, because there are some quality women's wrestlers on this roster, and she's not one of them. She's a heat magnet, so maybe that's where they're going to go. But I'm going to say I feel the glow, man. So, shit, I can't even think of her damn name. Naomi, thank you. Yeah. I was about to say the black girl. Naomi, he's gonna and I don't think we see any cash in tonight. No, not tonight.
Okay. All right. So, PC, are you there, brother?
Brother.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So,
I'm here, brother.
What do you reckon the outcome is of the Naomi Natalya match, and do we see a cash in?
In all honesty, I'm guessing we're just gonna see Naomi retain here. I would like to see Natty win. I'd like to see her get a lengthy run, and maybe, you know, Carmella cashes in at Survivor Series or Royal Rumble or something like that. But in all honesty, you'd think that we're going to continue to feel the glow, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. Dave?
Yeah, I think Naomi's going to retain the title, and I do think Carmella cashes in successfully on her. I think Natty's role here is to legitimize Naomi as a women's champion, and Natty's the perfect person. Unless Clint Bobsky shows up and can't keep his eyes off her chest, that could be a problem. But if it doesn't go down that way, then I think Natty just sits here and she's going to make Naomi look really good, make her look even better than she has before, because Natty can do that. She's one of the best workers that there is out there. I think that's her purpose for this match. But I do think that, you know, it's going to be a really tough match for Naomi. She's going to be beaten down significantly. Carmella and Carmelsworth will combine, cash in the contract. Carmella leaves SummerSlam as the SmackDown Live Women's Champion. How long she holds that, I don't know. But I think, like CP says, she's a heat magnet. And this is what they probably should have done with Eva Marie at NXT, have her beat Bayley and have her just be this nuclear supernova heat magnet. That would have done wonders for her career. They didn't do that. I think this is their chance to kind of do that. So, yeah, you know, Corbin losing the cash in, is that's all debatable as to what happened there. But I think with the first women's Money in the Bank, you don't want to set that precedent. The very first women's Money in the Bank cash in fails. Then you kind of devalue the whole concept of a Money in the Bank briefcase for the women. So I think Carmella leaves SummerSlam as the SmackDown Live Women's Champion. But Naomi's going to win this match.
DPP.
Boy, I agree with PC that I would love to see Natalya get a good run with the title. I think she really deserves it, but I don't think it's going to happen here. I see Naomi holding on to this title for a while. I don't see a cash-in by Carmella just because they did the cash-in with Baron Corbin on SmackDown. I don't see him firing off both these Money in the Banks within the course of a week. I think Carmella holds on to this Money in the Bank until after WrestleMania, after Charlotte wins the title, and she cashes in on someone like Charlotte, who I think is going to just add to that, like you said, CP that she's got this great heat going on. I think her beating Charlotte, cashing in on her, would be even bigger than doing it on Naomi or somebody like that. So I think she holds on to that money in the bank till next year, till after WrestleMania.
Okay, interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. Okay, let's go to Jinder Mahal with the Singh brothers facing off against Shinsuke. Right, so PC, what is, you know, what's going to be the outcome? What's going to be the outcome here? Because we've got the Singh brothers involved, so, you know, they're probably going to be taking some kind of crazy bumps. Maybe not as crazy, or maybe as crazy as the bump John Cena took on his bloody head. But yeah, where do we go? Again, a lot of these matches are kind of like 50-50. You don't know what WWE are thinking, what's creative thinking. So, you know, the cash-in is not there anymore. So, you know, is this clear for Shinsuke to win, or are they going to set, you know, a precedent here and have Jinder steamroll through one of these, you know, top guys to create credibility?
I'm not going to be surprised either way, but my prediction has been and will continue to be that this is going to be leg two of the World Tour. And not that it hasn't been a deserved title run for Jinder and will be much deserved for Shinsuke, but I think that's where we're going. And I think having that Money in the Bank out of the way allows the fans can bask in the victory of Nakamura and not have to worry about someone coming out and affecting that, changing the outcome.
Okay, so do you see maybe, I'm coming to you next, Dave, do you see maybe they do a, you know, this is halfway through the pay-per-view, this match goes on, and we see a Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, and you just see a Kinshasa just straight out the bat, straight away, Kinshasa, bam, 1-2-3, Shinsuke wins.
Best match ever.
Are you're asking me this? Yeah. I don't see it going down that way.
Okay, so what's your thoughts, dude?
I think Shinsuke walks out of here with the title as well. It's difficult. I mean, Jinder Mahal had that nice little documentary, or, you know, him training and all that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, I just think you've gone as far as you can with this Jinder Mahal thing. You've got your market penetration in India. That's all great. You got to have what did I say on Rick's show? That this is what I hope they do. I hope Shinsuke Nakamura takes the title here at SummerSlam. Survives all the shenanigans of the Singh brothers. Survives. I hope he Kinshasa's the Great Khali right back to India. That'd be nice. But I think what I would like to see them do, which is of course not so non WWE in this day and age, is have Shinsuke win the title here tonight, and have him hold that thing through WrestleMania. Have AJ Styles win the Rumble, and then have it be AJ versus Shinsuke at WrestleMania 34, and then you've got your built-in main event. I'm hoping they go in that direction. AJ wants to do that. Shinsuke, I'm sure, is probably down with that. That match is going to be far better than probably whatever we get on the Raw side of things at SmackDown or at WrestleMania. But I think the Jinder Mahal thing has gone as far as it can, and it's been great. Jinder can remain relevant, but I just think he's limited. And it, as great as he looks in the ring, he's still he's hindered by his own inadequacies. But Shinsuke's not. I think this is a moment where you get a big feel good moment for SummerSlam, and I'm going with Shinsuke to win this thing, and I really hope that they stretch this thing out for Shinsuke versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania, which we know probably isn't going to happen, but we can always dream, right?
Dude, I think you're onto something here. A Royal Rumble won by AJ. I'll tell you now, if AJ wins the Rumble in January, this is probably going to be one of the best Royal Rumbles we've seen in a long time. Because, you know, if AJ comes out early, he's just going to fucking perform, and it's just going to be amazing. It's going to remind you of, like, when Michaels won it in 95. Like, I think it's going to be a really, really good Rumble if they decide to go that route. And I think
ideally AJ would eliminate Brock at the Royal Rumble. That would be awesome if they can, comes down to those guys. And it's like, okay, it's either going to be the Universal title or the WWE title on the line, and AJ is the one who eliminates Brock. And Brock won't look any worse for that. It's not like AJ pinned him or anything. That would be great.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. And then, yeah, Shinsuke holds it all the way through. We build up Shinsuke's stock. He beats Cena again. He beats Kevin Owens. He beats all these guys in these pay-per-views. Triple threat match, blah, 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 leading up.
Beats Bobby Roode after he gets called up to SmackDown, finally gets a win over Bobby.
Yeah, and you just got this going on. I would love that. DPP.
Big cast after he goes over to SmackDown in the Loser Leaves Raw match.
Wait for that. That's going to happen one of these days, right?
DPP,
you know what I've seen? Sorry, go ahead. Never mind.
What's your thoughts on the outcome? Who's taking it down?
I'll expand on that theory there because I think it's awesome. How about a heel, Shane McMahon, tells AJ Styles he's got to start the Royal Rumble number one. Number two, Bobby Roode's glorious entrance.
Oh, there you go.
And AJ Styles runs the table from number one and wins the whole thing. I like it. what are we on? Mahal Nakamura?
Yeah. What's the outcome?
I think
stealing my gimmick, not knowing where we are.
Where are we on? It seems pretty stupid to say Nakamura is not going to win this match. You know, the cards are aligned. Baron Corbin, like PC said, Baron Corbin got rid of Money in the Bank, so it's the perfect opportunity for Nakamura to get that moment, get the win. So, you know, everything's pointing towards Nakamura. So we're going to go the other way.
Okay.
I'm gonna say Jinder Mahal pulls this shit out of nowhere for something. Maybe we get somebody from NXT comes up and costs Nakamura the match. Maybe Hideo Itami shows up. I don't know, you know, something like that. Maybe I don't know, but I think to pick something different, I'll go with Mahal.
Okay, CP.
No, you're muted.
Did he mute himself?
Dude, you sound better than ever.
Wait, I got him covered. I got him covered.
Yeah, Tony says you sound better than ever when you're muted, man.
Yeah, of course you would say that.
Well, let's put it to the test. Go ahead.
Here, CP. CP, I got you covered. We can just stay muted. Stay muted for now. We got you.
Mama made me mash my M&Ms. There you go.
Nice. I do have a lovely voice every time I hear it, man. You know, then yeah, you guys should spend most of the podcast putting me over, man, because I'm money, baby. Just call me George Washington. I'm money, baby. But yeah, I'm a huge Shinsuke mark, man. I love Shinsuke Nakamura. I love the pomp and circumstance. I love the stiffness in the ring. It kind of adds an air of realness to what he's doing out there, because I guess he really is beating people the fuck up in there. But that's neither here nor there. I absolutely love him. I said this before on a previous podcast. I was down in Orlando for Mania, and I went to NXT TakeOver. I paid $90 for 3 tickets to NXT TakeOver just so I could be in the building with Nakamura. And I was there with my lady and her sister, who is not a wrestling fan at all. She doesn't know anything about wrestling, but she popped when Nakamura came out, and she was completely ensconced by his entire entrance and his just his oozing charisma. So that means something, because she doesn't know anything about wrestling. So that means something. And I have had my qualms about how they booked him since he's been on the main roster. I think they have him talking entirely too much. It kind of takes away from the specialness of who he is. But at the same time, clearly they understand what they have with him, because he's in the main event for the WWE title. And yeah, man, he's going to go over, strap the rocket to his ass. He shouldn't lose until Mania, at the very earliest. So, yeah, strap the rocket to his ass, man. Let's ride this Nakamura train.
Okay. Okay. What we're going to do now, because I just realized it's a 7-hour fucking show and 25 matches, we're just going to... I'm going to go through the matches.
So it's this podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to go through the matches. And just everyone just say the name of the person that they reckon is going to win. Okay? We'll do that. Talk Southpaw and get the fuck out of here. All right.
Cool. I got to sit down.
Come on, Kenny. Let's have the penultimate episode be 7 hours, man.
Let's do this. Okay. Akira Tozawa versus Neville. Go, DPP.
Tozawa.
Dave.
Tozawa.
PC.
In agreeance, Tozawa.
CP.
Neville.
Ooh, okay.
You would.
The new.
He gets it back.
The New Mark. Day versus the Usos. New Day are champs. DPP.
New Day.
Dave.
New Day.
PC.
New Day.
CP.
New Day.
Oh, I won't dare be sour.
New Day with
Tang. Milwaukee!
Yeah. you had to have Milwaukee. I'm glad you had that shit. Yeah.
I had to go fast lane when they were here. I went on the network and I pulled the soundbite because it's awesome.
Sick. Okay, Hardy Boys and Jason Jordan versus The Miz and The Miztourage, DPP.
Do I really have to? I guess Jason Jordan, because, you know, why not?
Why not? Dave?
Oh, yeah, Kurt Jr. and the Hardys, all the way.
Kurt Jr. and the Hardys, PC?
I'm going against the bookmakers here. I'm going with The Miztourage.
Okay, CP?
How weird is it that Kurt Angle has a black son and I don't? But
oh, boy. Wait, are you Chad Gable's dad or what?
I'm Oscar's dad.
Oh, shit, that's even better.
I'll be Oscar's daddy. Oh, hey.
Kurt Angle's black son and the Hardys, they're going over.
Okay. All right, so what else we got left? Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, DPP.
Alexa Bliss.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah, one of the harder ones to predict. But I'm going to go with Sasha. I'm going to stick with my pick from Rick's podcast, and I'm going to think Sasha takes the title here.
PC?
I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss. Just a quick note, if you want to search it on social media, there's a little kid fan in the crowd who went to slap 5 to Nia Jax while she was carrying Alexa Bliss over her shoulder and decided to just slap Alexa Bliss in the ass. What a lucky kid. I'm going with Alexa Bliss.
Okay, CP.
I typically frown on sexual harassment, but yeah, pop for that kid. But I'm going with the boss.
The boss, Sasha, new champ. Okay, Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, DPP.
I think AJ Styles is going to hold on to this one. I'd love to see a Shane heel turn and side with KO, but I don't know if they're going to go that far. I think they like Shane as a heel or as a face and being able to pop the crowd, so... AJ Styles holds on to the title.
Dave?
This brings back the US Open Challenge, PC.
Dave?
Yeah, I like the idea of a heel Shane McMahon, but I think there's too much heat with him and Kevin Owens right now. So I think AJ Styles wins this match, and they angle towards Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon somewhere down the line. And maybe Shane flips heel around the Royal Rumble or something like that and does like your theory. AJ, you're going in number one. So, but I think AJ retains the title here.
Okay, PC?
They don't want none.
There you go. CP?
Shane McMahon's a damn fool if he aligns himself with Kevin Owens. His friendships never work out well. Does he not watch the product? But AJ's going over here.
Okay. Randy Orton. Oh, for fuck's sake. Randy Orton versus... versus...
Randy Owens?
Rusev Putria. Rusev Machka.
Machka.
We're going the other way. CP.
Ah. Well, I don't know who's going to win, but the losers are going to be us, the fans. I know that damn much.
No! who do you reckon, man?
I'll say RKO, man. RKO out of
nowhere.
PC? I'm going with Rusev. And the most surprising thing about this match is Randy Orton actually tries after not trying and being in the main events for the last 4 months.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah, I think I know a lot of people want Rusev to win this match, figuring that he needs it to get this push that'll never come. But because that push will never come, he's going to get buried a little bit further by Randy Orton with an RKO. And hopefully Rusev goes and has Lana lick his wounds or other body parts to make him feel better. So
I don't really want to hurt myself in those places, but if that's what it takes.
DPP?
Rusev Putria! Rusev Machka!
Rusev Crush! Okay. Next. Oh, fucking hell. More matches? Big. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Only 10 to go, Kenny.
Big Cass versus Big Show. Battle of the Bigs. Fucking hell, man. Why do we have to watch this shit?
Hey, because we want to see a shark cage for the third time this year.
Oh, my days. Yeah. I forgot about that. Oh, my days. Okay.
We got Enzo scared out of his mind up in a shark cage.
CP.
I got to go with Big Cass here. He needs the win, and they're strapping the rocket to him.
PC.
Big Show.
Dave.
Oh, I think it's going to be Big Cass. I think the bigger question is whether Enzo helps Big Cass get the win and turns heel, realigning himself with Big Cass, seeing the error of his ways, or maybe this has all been a massive plan to Enzo as a manager would be much better than Enzo as a tag team partner for Big Cass, and he could be a much more effective version of James Ellsworth than James Ellsworth. So I think Cass wins. The bigger question to me is, does Enzo, is he the reason for this?
Okay, DPP?
Yeah, I would love to see that too, but the Enzo's merchandise sales might stop him from turning heel, unfortunately, but I would love to see him turn heel and realign, because otherwise, what the hell else do you do with him besides put him on 205 Live and let him job out to everybody? So
yeah,
I got cast this one as well, because I think he needs the win, and...
Okay. Finn Balor against Bray Wyatt, CP.
The Demon King, man, all the way. You know, at the end of the day, Bray's not going to win the big one. He's the Buffalo Bills of the WWE.
Hello!
I love losing at SummerSlam.
PC.
If Finn's coming out as the Demon and that happens and he loses, then I don't know why you brought him out as the Demon. So, the Demon, I take the Demon.
True. Dave.
Finn Balor, I take Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, Bray Wyatt actually win a real match on a pay-per-view? All I do is lose all the fucking time. The only thing I've got going for me is I'm banging JoJo. Yeah, Finn Balor wins this match.
Yeah, oh, my God, yeah. Well, as I'd
job out for that, though.
A saying that we have over here in the UK, you can also use for Bray Wyatt, chat shit, get banged. Simple as. You chat shit, you get banged. And he chats a whole lot of shit. So you deserve to get a whole lot of banging. And that's not from JoJo.
Yeah, the problem is no one knows what the hell he's talking about. So he can get away with it. It's like, what did Bray just say? I feel like I had a lobotomy or something.
Oh, my days. DPP?
Oh, yeah. It's Demon Balor all the way on that one. This has been set up for that. And if... there's no reason to bring him out if you're gonna have him lose, so it's easily the Demon King.
All right, we're nearly there, guys. Two more matches: John Cena versus Baron Corbin. I was gonna call him Karen Borbin then.
Get some water.
CP.
This is the biggest match of Baron Corbin's career. This is make or break, man. Obviously, Cena's going to go over here because when in doubt, choose Cena. But this is the biggest match of his career, man. If he goes out and shits the bed versus John Cena, obviously, they're not going to put the blame on Cena. So, you know, no pressure, Baron, but you better bring it tonight, bruh.
PC.
Avenue!
Unger.
Hit the trumpets. John Cena is going to win this match. I agree with CP. It's a big match for Baron Corbin.
Chain gang, motherfucker!
DPP.
Well, because you never bet against John Cena, I'm going with Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin. No,
oh, you might want to play that Word Life theme music for that, man.
Word Life. All right, last match. Cesaro and Sheamus.
I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel this.
Hey, man, shout out to John Cena, man. He went platinum, no singles. No features.
CP. Okay, last match. Sheamus?
Yeah.
Sheamus and...
Anderson.
Yeah, Sheamus and Cesaro facing off against Ambrose and Rollins. Who takes it down?
I gotta go with Ross and Rachel on this one, which is Ambrose and Rollins.
We were on a break!
But I wouldn't be, in the back of my head though, I'm just kind of throwing this out in the ether. I wouldn't be surprised if Ambrose turned on him and went heel tonight.
Tonight? So soon?
I guess it's fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Okay. PC?
Cesaro holds on, and extreme disappointment in the Rollins and Ambrose storyline to where there's no Shield reunion and there's no Ambrose heel turn.
Is there also no Christmas, no Santa Claus, and Easter Bunny?
And in fact, they do not find Marcel this time.
He's there gone no forever.
The mighty Casey has struck out.
Forever. Oh shit! Do you have Marcel? By the way, it looked like Marcel walking in front of the camera just a second ago. the monkey's his uncle.
Are you grabbing some pussy, Tony? What are you doing over there? Yep, there he goes. He's grabbing pussy.
Oh, like Dr. Evil over there. Look at that.
All right.
Let's see this out to the end. Let's see this out to the end. Dave?
I'm not going to be as nihilistic as Tony is in this whole... You know, there is no happy ending to anything. I think this is a bigger part of a S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion story that they're going to do. I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. But I think S.H.I.E.L.D. Light wins the Raw Tag Team titles here tonight and continues that story. You know, it would be great to see Roman actually get involved in this thing at some point during the match. You know, this shit's going down and Roman is the one who comes out to make the difference. But... probably not going to happen. I expect there to be some interaction with Roman and Ambrose and Rollins during this pay-per-view. If nothing more than to come in there, do a fucking triple fist bump, and they all go on their way, that would get a huge pop from the crowd. But yeah I think the S.H.I.E.L.D. reformation project continues, and you get some change in the Raw Tag Team Champions out of this.
Wouldn't that be the opposite of HLA, like just the S.H.I.E.L.D. in there fist bumping, you know, fisting each other the whole time?
Jeez. Fisting each other the whole time? Are we going down that path again, buddy?
Them three just skipping.
I thought we had to spread the love there.
Them three just...
They're spreading something else, buddy. They're spreading else.
Something amazing just happened. Shout out to Dave, man. In the last 3 minutes, he has mentioned nihilism and fisting on a wrestling podcast, man. That's impressive, man. Ring the bell, DPP.
That's old Gator's influence exactly. On me, that's for sure.
Exactly. DPP.
That and extreme alcoholism, you know.
It's called a podcast oil check.
DPP.
CP stole my thunder on this one, but I got Cesaro and Sheamus winning the titles. I got Ambrose turning heel on Rollins. I think the pop you got on Raw for the S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion light was the biggest pop you're going to get for these guys, and they're going to start their feud again, but just reverse roles and have Ambrose as the heel, Rollins as the baby.
Okay, cool. We finally made it. We made it. God damn it. Okay, so...
Well, now the show's getting ready to start.
We weren't going to make this easy for you.
No.
I think the first match... I think the pre-show match is starting right now, yeah.
Oh, my days. Okay, so...
The pre-show's starting?
So we're gonna give this little bit of time just to talk about Southport Regional Wrestling. If you guys haven't seen it, you know, man, I binge watched that shit. As soon as I heard that was out, hey, that was it. You know, I had to go.
Better than the pay per view today, probably.
Yeah, probably. Oh man, let's talk about the new characters we got. Who do we get? We got Jason Jordan as what was his name?
Pork Chop Jones.
He was great.
I think there's an actual Pork Chop Jones, though. I think he used to team with Iceman King Parsons and UC in World Class Championship Wrestling. I think there's a Pork Chop guy.
Oh my god!
You and WCCW, Chris. That must be your baby there, my man.
I tell you what, man. I gotta give a shout out to Rhino. What the fuck? He was wicked, man. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, you don't think so too, Dave?
Yeah, these assholes, I don't even know what they're pissed off about. They're probably trying to tell me the pre-show's coming on. You guys need to shut the hell up.
Yeah,
stop trying to get mic time, man. Stop trying to get some mic time. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, the butchers were great. Let's talk about beating.
I tweeted something out about this. Did the Butchers, was it just me, or did the Butchers remind you of what would have happened if Macho Man had teamed with Mankind?
Yeah, definitely.
Seth Rollins is like Macho Man, and Rhino's like Mankind, and I'm like, yeah, there you go.
You talk about beating meat.
I love to have the title belt hanging from the same place as the big cow meat and everything.
Yeah.
Man, what about The Miz, though? PC, what about The Miz? You ain't seen it? DPP, man.
I have the shirt.
The Miz.
As Adam Doom.
Yeah, Adam Doom. Okay, Mr.
After he gets possessed, by the New Day's character.
Oh my god, my brother Vu and me do. Oh my days, I could not stop popping. I literally, it was just.
They do exist.
They do exist. Oh my god.
My favorite, and my girl's favorite too, was when they hired the female wrestler, and after the interview with the first female wrestler and John Cena. Lance Catamaran is talking off camera going, you hired one? What are you doing with one? You need two. You need two.
I indeed thought she was a little man. A little man. Just a weird looking little man. Oh man, it's just I like the emotional
degradation. There's another big word for CP. He's not even there. The emotional degradation of Chet Chetterton as these six episodes go down. He starts off so high. Oh, by God. The last one, he's just an emotional shell of himself. It's like, props to Fandango for that shit, man.
Goddamn Suzanne!
Suzanne! I made her this t-shirt. Oh.
Yeah, the t-shirt.
That is funny that, you know, they go, yeah, the second season is backwards, so it's just funny to see the progression of Chet as he goes through it. The first season, he's drinking, and now you figure out why he was drinking. And
dude, shout out to Fandango, by the way, personality, man. That, right? That was the biggest
and the
revelation
horrible
to me.
Comb over.
Oh, my God.
But if you follow us on DWI, I have a theory about Fandango. I'm not going to get into it here, but let's just say I wouldn't be surprised if he took some theater classes somewhere along the line.
Yeah, he's been great, man. He's been. I you know what?
Are you calling him a thespian?
More big words. Yeah. While you're off camera, CP, I used the word degradation on this podcast too, just to keep throwing the big ones out at you.
Well, that's what this podcast should be called, quite frankly. So you just titled this podcast.
The degradation of Sunday Segway as he comes limping into the finish line, baby. Right? Baby!
That's what I'm going to call it. You just named it. The degradation.
Let's see if we can ruin Danny Glover's career on his second to last. This is a totally lethal weapon.
Kenny, like, I'm too old for this shit.
In the words of Logic, I prefer Danny Glover. Yeah.
one of my favorite jokes from Danny Glover is when he talked about how he figured out that his name is Dong Lover.
Oh.
Don Glover.
Don the Glover.
You listen to that.
Listen, I'm telling you now, Mr. McElroy. I love Mr. McElroy.
Hey, let me fix my mustache.
Man,
I call him my Swamp Creature.
I tell you one.
Well, I know what I'm doing
until
SummerSlam.
One guy I did not like in this was AJ Styles. I did not. I didn't.
Oh,
like
I loved
him.
AJ.
I didn't like his.
Yeah, I liked AJ too.
I love Tex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad. I love those guys. Literally.
I loved all the 80s hair going and the Zumas. And all
right, I gotta ask you guys this. I gotta ask you guys this because I couldn't figure it out. But who were the Top Guns?
The Ascension.
Is that the Ascension? Yeah. Jesus.
You mean the Surf Dudes with Attitudes?
The 80s guys were showing their chest and belly hair and all that kind of stuff, and they were, and then Chet and then Lance Cameron said, "We can't use Top Guns." They're the Danger Zone.
Yeah, they say the Danger Zone as Dan Severn has a fit for gimmick for copyright infringement because that is the name of his MMA school, the Danger Zone. Like so, yeah. On that note,
you ever notice how Dan Severn looks like Ray Finkel from Ace Ventura?
You know what, DPP, why don't you end this segment the only way that we should, since you brought up Einhorn and Finkel. You're all gonna love it, since I know you all love the movie. DPP, why don't you suck some air?
That sounds terrible.
Yes.
Soccer-style kicker graduated from Collier High, June 1976. That's University Honored Graduate Class of 1980. Holds two NCAA Division I records, one for most points this season, one for distance. Former nicknamed the Mule, the first ever pro athlete to come out of Collier County, one
hell of a model American. days.
I'm impressed.
Myself, man. Yeah.
That's my party trick.
All right, that is it, guys. That is it. It's the end of the show. The dogs aren't happy. They're telling Dave to get the fuck off the mic. They are mad right now. The dogs are.
They're protesting your retirement, Kenny. That's what they're doing.
We're gonna use this time now just to obviously we're gonna peter out. You know, we've got one more show left now. I just want to thank you guys, okay, each and every one of you, including you, Chris. You know, you're late to the party, but man, you're my brother, man. You're my brother from another.
You saved the best for last.
Exactly.
You saved the best for last. That's all.
Isn't that a song?
Yeah. Dina Carroll. I think. The Bisto advert. And you guys, do you know what Bisto is?
Can't say that I do.
No, it's gravy.
I don't either.
It's gravy.
cafe.
It's gravy.
Oh, okay.
It's gravy.
Oh, nice. Right.
Okay.
Gravy.
We just say
like
gravy.
This show. This show is gravy, man.
It's
gravy.
All bisto, baby.
It's all bisto. But yeah.
This show is butter because it's on a roll. You know?
So I just want to say, first off, to Dave.
Biscuits and Bristol. Oh.
Biscuits and gravy. Just want to say to you, Dave, you know, when I reached out to you and you guys, you and, you know, you and Gator decided to help me out, you know, and become guests on the show. And we went through this long line of amazing, funny ass shows. And everyone wanted to come on the show when you guys were on. Everyone. You know what I mean? And it was just like that. We just hit a marker then. As soon as you guys came on board, that was it, man. Everyone wanted to be on the same show as you guys. And I said, no, fuck off. It's me and these guys by myself. Because I just, it's just too much. You brought the best out of me, man. I'm telling you now, because I don't see myself as a funny guy, but when I was, you know, on the show with you guys, I listened back and I thought, you know what, for fuck's sake, this is some funny ass shit right here, man. You guys brought the best out of me and I want to thank you for that. DPP, PC, geez, again, I added another diamond, you know, another diamond there when you guys came on board as well. Again, we just hit it off straight away. The chemistry was there. We said from the very first time we had our show together, the chemistry was there, and we continued to roll on and do more. And then, you know, we invented the TriCast, man, and man, you know, the rest is history. And Chris, man, again, you saved the best to last, man. Thanks for coming on board again. You added so much professionalism, even more professionalism to the shows when I had you guys on. So thanks for that. And you know what, this is just the this isn't the end, this is just the beginning, because I will still be guests, you know, I still will be a guest on you guys' show. So just holler at your boy.
I feel like there's at least 4 guest spots a year already, like, you know, waiting there for you.
Yeah, man, whenever you're ready, just call on your boy and I'll be good to go. So yeah, man, so collectively, thank you guys for everything. Thank you for the memories. And you know, I have made more friends from this show than I could have ever imagined, you know, and that's the whole point. So thank you guys very much. And DPP, do your thing. Let the people know where they can find you. Social media, you guys. Yeah, just let people know.
All right. Well, PC started off. We'll do our thing.
Okay. Stop telling me what to do. You can follow us on the Twitter at PodcastDWI. You can check us out on Facebook.
At facebook.com/DWI podcast.
And on Instagram.
And it's me, DPP. That's right. We still got Instagram, Kenny.
You can find DPP at it's me, DPP. You can find Christopher Platt at the real C-Platt.
C-Platt. Yes, sir.
That's right. There you go.
Okay, Dave.
And Kenny, yeah. I just have to say, I apologize, Dave. I didn't mean to step on you, but yeah, man. From the
step
bottom
on me,
heart,
buddy.
Oh, man. Okay. Mr. Bentley, huh? But, Kenny, from the bottom of my heart, man, I just wanted to thank you, brother, for allowing me to be on your platform, man. I've enjoyed it each and every time. Thank you so much. And I wish you well in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Let me and DPP say thank you real quick, and we'll get out of the way so Dave can clean up. We've talked before about it, and you've helped us out immensely, you and Dave both. And so it's just been our pleasure to be able to kind of latch on, if you will, to you guys and learn a little something and become just a little bit better. And just fun is how I describe our relationship, all three of us and everything. And like I said, I think there's more guest spots for you that are already penciled in, you know, that the TriCast it may live on.
Yes.
You know,
you gave us our start, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we really were just kind of plugging along. We didn't have any guests or anything until we, you know, got in touch with you and we got going, and that really kind of catapulted us, and it's certainly made us a million times better than we were at the beginning, because I know at episode 100, I went back and listened to episode 1, and it was just a mess. So, you know, I think being able to, and you too, Dave, and you guys, you know, just all of us together, I think helped us grow, especially us, I know, and me personally, helped us grow, you know, in the podcast world and kind of get our voice a little bit. And since, you know, everybody's going to be all sentimental, and we still have to have fun with this one. Kenny?
Nice. I wouldn't have it any other way. Dave, can you let the people know where they can find you on the social media, please?
Well, before I do that, Kenny, I just have to personally thank you for everything, man. It has been a great run working with you. I will always forever remember a few moments with the Sunday Segway podcast. The first time ever in that abandoned apartment at 3 o'clock in the morning, my time, when it was just a card table and the podcast equipment because everything had been moved to the house. And Gator and I we almost actually set your record on your Beat the Clock challenge at 4 o'clock in the morning, West Coast time. That I'll remember. I'll also remember the retro roundtable with Cookie. Oh, shout out to Cookie. Yeah. With Gator inventing Jack the Poon Slayer Tunny.
Yes.
How many bitches?
Oh my God. Relative of mine.
Oh. Yeah, Jack Poon Slayer Tunny. Yeah, I'll remember that. I'll also remember the Swaggy Awards. You guys coming on for the first and second Swaggy Awards. I'll have to get you back for that thing. Maybe bring the DWI guys in there. But it has been a great ride with you, my friend. I had a lot of fun. Bummed we never got to do the WrestleMania 5 Retro Roundtable. Ooh, Hulk Hogan. Yeah. I'm going to smear your guts all over the ring at WrestleMania 5.
Yeah. I see lust in your eyes, Hogan.
He says, shit, Hogan, goddamn you. I knew I should have kicked your ass years ago, yeah. So, that whole thing. But, yeah, it's been a great run, Kenny. I wish you nothing but that. But success with the dad cast. I know you're already eliciting questions from us. Yeah, I have nothing to do with fashion style or anything for my kids, so that's all on you guys. But been a great run. Wish you nothing but the best, my friend. Hopefully we'll see you at the TriCast. We'll hopefully continue. We'll see you for the Survivor Series if any of us are still, you know, engaged in this product and they haven't burned us out completely by then. But as far as contact for the Attitude of Aggression, you can email us at attitudeofaggression@gmail.com. Check out the website, www.attitudeofaggression.com, on Facebook, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression. Follow us on Twitter, @attitudeag, that is @attitudeagg. And as I always say, unlike Kenny, we do have an Instagram account, @attitudeofaggression, all one word.
Well, you never know. Once this shit stops, I might have an Instagram. You never know. You know.
Hey.
You never know.
I want to see you and Jack the Poon Slayer Tunney right there next to each other riding shotgun, baby. Yeah. How many bitches?
Me.
I think if you're going to do that, you got to go with four Instagrams then. Yeah. You got to go from nothing to four. Four. The one man with four Instagrams.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that's the end of the show, guys. We have one more left next week, okay? Next week is going to be a big one. And I'll tell you why it's going to be a big one. Not just because it's the last one, but because we have some returns. We have the return of my former partner in crime. He is still my, technically still my partner in crime, but the Girl Them Sugar Shugs is gonna return for the very last episode. So we will have the Girl Them Sugar Shugs returning on that episode. We will also have the brother of the Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast, King Bingus, will be in the building, people, along with the Nature Boy Fame Black, along with CEO Hayes, and also along with Big Ray as well. They will be on the show. It'll be massive. We'll be doing lots of funny stuff. We'll be talking about our memories of the Sunday Segway. Yes, being all the first episode called X-Pac Tears Itself a New One. Man, geez, yeah, man, it's gonna be amazing. We're gonna have games. We're gonna relive the Beat the Clock, the famous Beat the Clock challenge. We're gonna have In the Words of is gonna return. It's gonna be a lot of fun, guys. So make sure you check it out, please. You can follow us for one more week at Sunday Segway, but you can follow me continuously at Kenny Killer. That's K-I-L-L-A. And guys, I will never get tired of saying this. If you don't like that, just don't piss me off, because you can choke on that slap nuts. Woo!
Woo!
All right, guys, let's get the hell out of here and prepare for fucking SummerSlam. Man, geez.
Hey, I think you should call this episode Nihilistic Fisting. That would be a good title for this episode.
The Chosen One.